my way of looking to the world. It's why you're acting that way, it is understandable. Hence, the devotees who follow us upstairs also So this continues from the previous two verses which talk about iha, or actions. And first we said that the Lord is not entangled by anything, even though He carries out material creation. And then it talked about how the sages, or the wise people, do not become entangled, even though they act in this material world. Okay? So that was again iha. So here again iha, the Lord acts. But he is not entangled in any way to these actions, even though he does actions. And it explains why. And that is, of course, he is Bhagavan. That word itself means he is full of all wonderful spiritual powers. He can do anything, even though it looks contradictory. Isha, he is the controller. So, an ideal controller does things, but doesn't get affected by the actions. For instance, in the material world, we have the manager of a company. So he doesn't have to do all the work below. He is the Lord, so he controls others and makes them do all the work. So similarly, Krishna has his shaktis, the Achit Shakti, which does the work of material creation for him. But then he has his servants, Durga Devi, Maya, Shiva, others that carry out, devatas, that carry out the work of the material world. Because he's the Lord, so he doesn't have to get affected. And he is a Purna Artha. Purna, of course, means complete. Artha means objects or whatever. So, he is complete in everything. He doesn't need anything. So, because he has everything, even if he does activities, he doesn't get attached to those things that result. So, his activities is not because he is incomplete and needs something. In the material world, why do human beings do activities? Because they need something. They do an activity to get something. Why do they get something? Because they need it. They want it. Well, essentials they need. Artha they need. They need food. They need other things to maintain their life. Then they need other things for enjoyment. So for artha and kama, the living entity continually does activities. The Lord doesn't need anything. He doesn't need to eat. He is complete in Himself. He is eternal, self-sufficient. Doesn't need food, doesn't need water, doesn't need air, doesn't need anything. Completely, he has everything anyway. So therefore, even though he does activities, he does not need get attached to anything. He doesn't claim it and try to enjoy it. So he is full because Atma Labena. He has everything already. He has attained everything. So this is the position of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, if one follows Him, if one becomes devoted to the Supreme Lord, he gets the same result. So one of the first qualities of bhakti to develop is subhadha. It gives all auspiciousness. The other quality that develops is kleshagni. All suffering disappears. Which means karma, desire, ignorance, etc. Why is that? Because by serving the Lord, who has no ignorance, who has no suffering, we develop similar qualities. Bhakti itself is beyond suffering, etc. So, because the Lord has no suffering, no ignorance, etc., and has all wonderful qualities, the devotee develops all wonderful qualities and gets no suffering, etc. See, they're merely aspects of association with the Supreme Lord. Develop similar qualities. So, therefore, if one becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, like the Lord, we can do activities, but no attachment, no effect, no karma, no ignorance, no bondage. from these activities. The only condition is to follow the Lord, represented here by one little word, anu, which means afterwards. So this indicates the process of devotion. Devotion means we accept the position of the Supreme Lord and we try to establish a relationship with Him. This is called Krishna Anusilanam. And the relationship should be positive relationship, not negative relationship. A relationship of affection rather than hatred. So why is hatred there? Because demons cultivate a relationship of hatred, that's why. So we have Pranikasipu cultivating for three lifetimes relationship of hatred with the Lord. So that is not the proper, it is Anusilanam, it's Vishnu Anusilanam, but it is not Anukulyena, it is opposite, Vairena, as an enemy, hatred. So therefore we use the word Anukulyena, with favorable attitude, with affection. So we cultivate a relationship with the Lord with affection. So that is called bhakti. So that is what this is here, anu. As we say, anusilanam. That means cultivating a relationship, positive relationship. So in other words, anu here represents the process of bhakti. Those who follow after the Lord do not lament. Do not fall into material conditions. Do not get karma. Do not get suffering. Do not get the bondages of the material world. Do not have to take another body, etc. So that is represented by not ava siddhanti. So those who perform the process of bhakti yoga, though it is activity using the body and the mind, do not get material effects like other persons. Rather, they destroy all material effects by that and end up in the highest position. So therefore, this verse points out that the process of bhakti is the process to follow, rather than jnana yoga, karma yoga, or astanga yoga. It is through the process of bhakti that we can solve all the problems that we have in this material world and end up with eternal bliss in the spiritual world. So, there is an example given in the scriptures, also in the Bhagavatam, about attaining similarity. When we worship the Lord, we develop similarity or samya. Not that we are actually equal, but we develop similar qualities. These qualities manifest. Some of them are inherent in the jiva, that is, eternal. By its very nature, its sarup, jiva is eternal. So we don't have to get it in any way. But when we're in the material world, we never believe that. We think we're temporary because we think we're the body. But through the process of bhakti, then we understand that we are eternal. So there are general qualities like that. The soul has eternal nature, has consciousness, etc., like the Supreme Lord already. But we don't function properly in the material world because we're covered by ignorance. So therefore the consciousness does not have knowledge, and we're conscious of the material body, we don't think we're eternal. Other qualities have to manifest, particularly through the process of bhakti. If we don't do bhakti, we can make these other qualities, eternality, consciousness, manifest. How? Through jnana and through yoga. We get rid of the ignorance, get rid of the karma, and then we're left with general qualities of the sarup of the atma. He is eternal. So we realize that we're not the body. We don't take birth and death, free of karma, etc. Consciousness is pure. So we get the general qualities of Atma manifested through jnana and yoga when we destroy ignorance and karma. But other qualities are not there. These other qualities manifest only in association with the Supreme Lord. Yeah? So the Supreme Lord has many, 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 many qualities. 64 qualities are mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. Jiva can develop. Of those qualities, 50. So he doesn't get all the qualities, but he gets some of the qualities, not everything. So in that sense, he's not equally equal, but somewhat similar. Of course, it is also mentioned that the jiva can develop these qualities, but how much of the qualities? Bindu, bindu. A little, small quantity. A little droplet of some of these qualities. 50 qualities in small percentage, 1% maybe, like this, 0.5% or whatever. But he develops these qualities like the Lord. In that sense, he gets samya. So this does not develop through jnana or yoga. No association, no worship of the Lord, therefore no development of those qualities, no manifestation of those qualities. But they manifest through process of bhakti. Of course, we know by association, qualities develop. If a person associates with wicked people, asatsanga, then he also develops bad qualities. Associate with materialists, one becomes materialistic. If one associates with good people, one develops good qualities. Associate with sattvic people, you get sattvic qualities. Associate with rajasic people, you get rajasic qualities. Associate with tamasic people, you also develop tamasic qualities. So, material world is very dangerous because all sorts of people all over the place and we don't know guna, etc. Of course, in the varnashram system, it's quite clear because you're designated by varna and you're supposed to have those qualities. So therefore, you associate with your caste, then you're safe. You don't go below your quality at least. But in the modern world, all mixed up, we don't know. And therefore, very dangerous. We don't know what guna we're associating with and lowering our guna. So therefore, one has to strive for proper association, even in the material world. Qualities influence. So similarly, in bhakti, and very important, sadhu sangha, very important. Through devotional association, we become devotional. Through sadhu sangha, we get shraddha, or faith, slight inclination towards the Lord, slight anukulya nature. Based on that, then we begin the process of bhakti. And then again, in the process of, after we get the shraddha, we get sadhu sangha association to inspire us to do the bhakti. So, therefore, devotional association is good. And what is the process of bhakti? Association with the Supreme Lord. So, this produces spiritual qualities in the jiva, which are not present, do not manifest in jnanis and karmis and yogis. Karmis manifest sattvic qualities, if they lucky, they can rise up in the gunas. Jnanis and yogis develop zero qualities, nirguna, simply eternal and conscious, that's all, no ignorance. And devotees develop 50 qualities. Besides that. So, all because the Supreme Lord has wonderful qualities. But that is represented here by the word Bhagavan. Bhagavan means full of all auspicious qualities. If he's just Isha, he is the controller. Some qualities. He is very powerful, etc. Controller. But Bhagavan means all the other qualities, of which the best quality is Bhakta Vatsala. He is very affectionate towards his devotees. So affection is the nature of the Lord. Bhakti is the Lord's nature. And by association with the Lord, the devotees keep developing that bhakti also and that affectionate relationship until it becomes prema and rasa, by which the jiva gets bliss. So In other words, the gyanis and the yogis and the karmis do not get that bliss or ananda, because they don't develop that relationship of affection with the Lord. Only the devotees get that bliss or ananda. That, of course, is the opposite of what is said here, in one sense. The devotees who follow them do not lament, do not follow the difficulty. What's the opposite? They get bliss. Those who follow the path of jnana and yoga, what do they get? Yes, they also don't have to lament because they're free of karma, but they don't get the bliss. So they get a sort of a halfway, neutral state. But the devotees get the positive state of bliss in a relationship with the Lord. So, automatically, they are free from karma, etc. So therefore, the process of bhakti is the recommended process for the jivas. We have to follow this process. This whole section is about action. Ihate, ihante, etc. How to do action. This is important because in the material world, action leads to karma, karma leads to suffering, suffering leads and bondage, rebirth, etc. So it's a bad thing. Action is bad. But our acharyas point out that the jiva by nature, even if you take away the material body, one of its essential qualities besides consciousness, eternal, etc., is action. He has an ability for action naturally. So, in the material world, this is reflected by the fact that we do actions with our material body. In the spiritual world, it is represented by actions to please the Lord. It is represented in sadhana bhakti by actions to please the Lord, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. So, action continues in the process of bhakti, even though it's also in the material world, represented by karma, etc. Because it's in the spiritual world, in the material world we do these activities, they're not the same as material activities. They're like the spiritual activities in the spiritual world. Even though we're using our material body and material mind. So in the process of doing activities like the spiritual world activities with devotion, then the body, the mind become spiritualized. They don't give material effects. They lose their limitation in the material world through the process of bhakti. If one practices jnana or yoga, however, we don't get the same results. What do they do? They do not want to act. They want to give up all activities. So ultimately what happens? They reach the state where they get consciousness of the pure jiva, being eternal, no activity. So the activity of the jiva, which is natural to him, does not manifest in that state. So what about consciousness? Yes. But usually we think of consciousness as I am conscious of something. Yeah? If I'm not conscious of anything, what is that consciousness? Like deep sleep maybe? Or something like that. And so, jnanis and yogis strive for consciousness with no object. So even the chit aspect of the jiva, which is part of his sroop, intrinsic to him, does not manifest nicely in liberation. It is consciousness, but consciousness of nothing. No object of consciousness. Because they think in the material world, I'm conscious of objects, then I desire objects, then I do activities, then I get karma, then I get suffering. So when we're conscious of things in the material world, problems. So therefore, conscious of nothing. Just conscious. So that is the state of impersonal liberation achieved through jnana or yoga. So even the jiva's nature is not fully manifested there. course, we have the other aspect of the jiva, ananda.